Radio.
Okay, we're going live. Good evening, everybody. Happy Monday. It's the Andy and Amanda Show, live from Hollywood, United Kingdom, Hawaii, and Delaware. We got the whole team on board. I think Amanda just joined us from the UK. How you doing over there?
I have. I'm here, sweetheart. Doing good, thank you. How about you?
We're doing fine here, hearing all sorts of things about what's going on over there. We'll talk about it in just a little bit. I think we got our special guest who's been hanging in here with the show with us for every episode. Chet from
Honolulu. Honolulu. Honolulu.
Yeah.
Hawaii.
We got that down.
Where the volcano. Volcano's going. We got the volcano, man.
And also on our team, our show.
I love that theme music. Man, who did that?
Yeah, who did that theme music? You know, it was the root recording of a song called Simple Reason by Andy Kimball and produced by Chet Carter.
Like Chang.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd buy that. I like it.
It's very funky.
you know, I like it better than the ones with strings. You know, I put it in. I found it. I forgot we had it, actually. I found it. And I listened to it, and I like it better than the one with strings. The one, after you hear them together, the one with strings seems like what's that guy's name? Who's that singer? Neil Diamond.
Mondovani?
Neil Diamond's going to come out. He's going to come out and sing, like, any minute, you know, the strings and the whole thing. Where this version that we played as an intro music sounds more, you know, kind of poppy and folky. And
organic.
Organic. That's it. Hey, Amanda.
Yes, darling.
I'll bet Cornell's here, too.
Yes, I'm right here. Hey, guys.
Who's
hey,
that?
Darling.
How you doing?
We're doing great, man. Doing great. You know, the week here on the Andy and Amanda Show, it's just a few days left, 5 days, I guess, till Christmas. I was just out in downtown Pasadena, and this, you wouldn't believe it's a ghost town. I mean, I was just like outdoor mall, and there's a big Christmas tree and shops and everything closed, every restaurant, every store, and the streets are empty. I took a bunch of pictures because I figured someday the grandkids might want to see that, you know? Unbelievable. I mean, I just couldn't. I felt like it was in a Rod Sterling movie, like Twilight Zone. I just couldn't believe there's nobody. It's incredible. It's incredible.
It's and a weird picture, right?
Very weird. And what's very weird, and what just started surfacing over the last couple of days, is where our co-host Amanda is in the UK. I mean, there is all sorts of things happening there now with the new migrated, mutated strain of the Corona, whatever it is, virus. we'll call this the Cornelius virus.
Corona virus.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Virus.
That makes me
well
known.
Yeah. Cornell, what are you doing over there, Cornell? Amanda, it's unbelievable. Airports are closed. They have all the trucks inbound to the UK are stopped before they get there. All the truckers are parked along the side of the road, and lots are camping out, and their trucks cooking dinner, and their cabs. Trains are stopped. All the ports are closed. Airports, airplanes are turning around, going the other way. What's going on?
Okay, so with this new variant of coronavirus spreading, we have seen cases double within a week. So apart from Northern Ireland, the variant has been found around the UK, but it's concentrated more so in the east and southeast and in London. So I rest in a high alert area, which is tier 2, and tier 4 is classed as lockdown, and that is currently the rating of the southeast right now. They do not get a Christmas day with their loved ones, like everyone else, bless them, and they are still saying that there is no evidence as yet to confirm whether this new variant is more dangerous or whether the vaccine is useless against it. However, it does spread faster. So Boris Johnson shared some information by Dr. Eric Voltz from Imperial College in London, which is variant may be up to 70% more transmissible, and scientists have given a percentage much higher or lower than 70. So as yet, it's too early to tell just how much, and it's leaving the question as to whether it is more infectious or not. So around 40 countries have closed its doors to passengers from the UK, and like you said, flights are being suspended. France has shut its border with the UK for 48 hours, but we're going to see what happens after then. In hopes to stop any spread of the variant reaching parts of Europe, though there are cases there also and are believed to have been traced back to the UK. So with the panic of closing borders, there may be slight issue with food supply here after Christmas, but with food such as fresh produce, it may be sooner. Ian Wright, Chief Executive of the Food and Drink Federation, said that there is no need for shoppers to panic buy, and Boris Johnson spokesman has said that we have a diverse food supply chain, and we have around 10,000 lorries a day transport fresh produce, etc. And they are fearing being stranded here, not returning in a timely manner. So drivers have had to wait up to 14 hours on one specific motorway, which is a highway to Americans. All due to travel bans with the coronavirus, and their concerns are, number one, safety, and number two, getting home for Christmas. So with this whole Brexit issue as well, looking like we're leaving with no deal, this is just going to add to the craziness this country is going to experience. With, you know, trade and transporting things as well. So we're all hoping it does not affect the transportation of COVID vaccines, because that's the key here. And there's been other things going on crazy. We've had mass flooding all in the south of the UK. So, you know, we've had like half a month's worth of rainfall in one day. With major flooding causing people to flee their homes. And Cornwall, south of Wales, received, I think it was 16 millimetres an hour of rain through Friday, right up until the early hours of the Saturday morning. So not far from me is a river called the River Severn, and that's been rising dramatically, and that's always caused major flooding problems. So that's a big deal as well in the south of the UK. So, you know, there's all this craziness going on, guys, all this craziness. And we're now up to 2.04 million total cases, and 35,928 new, and 67,401 total deaths, and 326 new, and that was reported yesterday. So,
wow.
You know, the variant is, you know, all viruses change. They spin, they spiral, they mutate. This one carries a genetic fingerprint that makes it easy to track, however, and therefore they can identify it. And it, so it once it's identified, but it's spreading quickly, so it becomes common pretty quickly too, but that alone does not necessarily mean that the mutation has made it spread more easily or worse. It's just more of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean the variant is more dangerous, by the way, nor does it mean that the variant won't respond to the vaccines which are coming out, because the vaccines don't fight the virus. They work on your genetics, you know, the RNA, preventing this type of spike to prevent it from integrating into your biology and whether it be a variant or not. So, but we don't know for sure. You know, nobody knows anything for sure. This thing's crazy. I just started thinking today, you know, I'm like, we're safe. We're all negative. I mean, you're all on the show are negative. My family is good. My friends are. I did lose three friends. I talked about it earlier, months ago.
Yeah.
To the coronavirus early on. But since, you know, my world, maybe all our worlds here on the show, our panel here, I don't really know, but we're all, you know, I think.
Wait,
Chet told me that he knows somebody who's pretty sick at one point. A while back, right, Chet?
Yeah.
A woman, I believe, that was...
Yeah, she's doing better, though.
Oh, bless her. I'm happy to hear that.
Are they, actually? More than one.
More than one.
But here we are in this bubble, and this world, and it seems like, okay, you know, we're living our lives and frustrated because the lives are the way they are. But out there in the world, this is horrific. This is unbelievable. I mean, I started today like this is come on now. The chief medical officer of England, who's a guy named Chris Whitty, had said that this variant contains 23 different changes, which he went ahead and described as being unusually large number for the number of changes from one virus. And he said that their variant would be responsible for 60% of the new infections of London, which have all nearly doubled in the last week alone.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's
crazy.
You know, yeah. And they anticipate the spread of this new variant would increase twofold or threefold right after Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the fear. The government were putting a lot of pressure on Boris and, you know, all the medical advisors. And they were all saying, look, you know, you can't have this relaxed Christmas grace period because it's going to cause major problems with the spread of the coronavirus. And he was like, I understand this, but also people are crying out mental health-wise. They need to be with their families just for this special occasion. It's something that everybody holds close to their heart, and there's a religious value to it as well. And so he said, I have to do something to just reduce it down to just one day where, you know, three households can get together. But I think they've now reduced it to two households and just the one day. But like I said, in London, those areas that are severely affected with being in Tier 4, they're on lockdown, so they can't have this shared experience at Christmas. And my heart goes out to them. It must be awful for them right now. And that's just I think it's a little ray of hope, you know, for people to see those people they've missed and just at least have fun for that one day. And I really feel, but I understand, you know, this spread is serious. It's a serious issue. It's like, where do you draw the line with, you know, helping people and protecting people all at the same time?
And you got to wonder how come some people are just, or many people, not just some, many are just so ignorant about this thing. Wait until it hits home, then we'll see how ignorant they are. You know, the mutation, you know, what the vaccine does is it actually reacts or therefore reacts with the spike protein, which SARS viruses, SARS proteins, and, you know, that's a whole chain of viruses, which you said in the show several times last week, research has been going on with the treatment for this spike protein now for 17 years. So the development of these vaccines just didn't come out of the woodwork. They've been in the works for a while. It was accelerated, but they've been in the works, and that's why and how we've been able to develop those vaccines so quickly. But the part of the virus that attaches itself to the host cells in human biology is called the spike protein. And what they're saying is that that actual mutation has a faster transmission rate than the original SARS or COVID-19 virus.
Yeah.
So scientists across the UK and soon to be a good part of the world will be conducting more research. We don't know. You know, it's interesting when you think about how does a variant originate and how, you know, how does it take hold? What, you know, how does that happen? And this variant... it's going to be interesting what Trump has to say about this one, because this is not the China virus. This originated in Southeast England. What towns would be, Amanda, in Southeast England? What cities that people might know? What is Southeast England? What's there?
Southeast is more towards a London way, Essex. You know, there's a lot of talk that it came from there, but there's also a lot of talk that it came from Europe because of what happened with the mink, with all those mink farms that they had to gas all those minks. And
we talked about that Friday.
So there's concern that it's possibly come from there. and migrated over here, or vice versa, somebody from here has taken it over to there, and that's how it's happened. And I think it must be a nightmare to try and trace this thing and accurately as to where this has come from.
The interesting aspect of this as well, just like the original coronavirus one, there was evidence of this, of the potential pandemic as early as December, some say in January at least. This particular mutation, they're using genetic evidence. There are suggestions that the variant first emerged in England in as early as September and then circulated in very low levels until, just last month, mid-November.
Yeah.
And so we'll see, but then what's next? Now what happens? So what happens after this variant? I don't know.
Well, the process is pretty simple, guys.
Yep.
It's a fast evolving type of organism.
Mm-hmm.
The more people that you infect, the more random mutations present themselves, and the ones that are more successful are able to propagate. So it's not surprising to me that the new strain is 70% more effective at infecting people.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
The way evolution works.
Yeah. Mutations are not.
So where it came from is relatively irrelevant. What's relevant is getting enough people free of it.
Yes.
So it'll die off.
Yeah.
Like polio did. Like smallpox did.
Yeah.
Although there are new and more novel ones that will be created. Again, we get back to a lot of it. Climate change is driving a lot of this. And of course, the rapid transportation networks. Thousands of people all over the world can be infected in a matter of 24 hours now with air travel.
Yeah, well, this variant.
That's how COVID got around.
Yeah, this particular variant has already spread globally. In addition to the UK, the variant's been detected in Denmark, Belgium, Netherlands, Australia, and that's just added from the Who, the Rolling Stones, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That's right.
Yeah,
we get the facts straight here. No, Who is the world health organization? I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
That's okay, Andy. It's okay.
I just pulled up the data from the world.
For
the
Andy and Chet.
Andy, that's all that matters.
Definitely.
I just want to point out, though, to our listeners who are listening, we're not here to ever scare you. We're here to inform you of
what
Andy,
Amanda, you didn't
hear yourself.
Amanda, you didn't know.
I'm just here
Andy
to bum you out.
He's the boogeyman.
He's
there to scare you.
But I mean,
got to hope that Saturn doesn't bump into Jupiter tonight.
Oh, that's scary.
We got to do something. Speaking of which, that's supposed to happen tonight. As a matter of fact, if everybody tunes into Griffith Observatory, that is here in California, about 15 minutes from our Coast to Coast studios, we'll be streaming something to do with this, whatever's going on. But I think what we're going to see is Jupiter aligning with Saturn aligning with Jupiter, something like that.
They're getting very close. Basically, close enough to where you can see the rings of Saturn and the moons of Jupiter with binoculars.
They actually called it the Star of Bethlehem, didn't they, back in the day? That's what they thought the Star of Bethlehem was.
Yeah,
the whole event.
I heard that.
I heard that. Yeah.
I've been tracking.
Either that or a supernova.
Yeah.
I've been tracking Jupiter and Saturn for months because they've been about, looking from Earth up at the sky. They've been about a foot and a half apart, if that. About a foot.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could see them. And for a long time, the moon was on the right, and then you looked to the left, and there was Saturn. You looked to the left, and that was Jupiter. I made that backwards. But anyway, I go out to my backyard. I spend a lot of time out back at night. I'm a big astronomy buff, and I look up at the stars, and I use Google Sky Map and look where everything is. And it's been pretty cool. And I have two telescopes set up right now, but I used to watch the moons of Jupiter and the
drink Saturn and just...
That's amazing. My father used to do the same thing, and we would look in his telescope. I loved seeing the rings. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I first saw them on Mauna Kea. I was up at 9,000 feet on Mauna Kea volcano.
Whoa.
And that's the first time I saw the rings of Saturn through a telescope back in the 90s.
Jeez, I had a lot of exes that wanted to see rings too, but no cigar. You know what I'm saying? Anyway,
there's a ring on a cigar too.
Here we go. from Hair. Everybody
aquarium?
Remember
aquarium?
Aquarium. Aquarium. I love it. Aquarium. From Hair.
Aquarium.
I just thought
fishy swimming all around us, aquarium.
Right.
I just had a memory flashback of being 13 years old at our family shore house, whatever it was, in Bedford, Jersey. And a really good friend of our family, who was like a relative, was the physician for a ice performing group called the Ice Capades. I don't know if everybody knows the Ice Capades.
Of course, yeah.
So the Ice Capades, so he was their physician. So when they would perform, he was always there by the side. So, he's at the place, and my sister and I guess my sister was like 10, I was 13. And he said, hey, listen, why don't you come down to the Lenox City Convention Center? I'll pick you up, and I'll get you ringside seats, and we'll get you the Ice Capades. So my folks were all excited, and my sister and I were like, yeah. So we went down, and we were ringside, right there on the next to the ice. And what we didn't know, that they started the song Aquarius with all these hot air balloons on ice things, obviously, hot air on little baskets. And a guy came over to exactly where my sister and I were sitting, took us out of our seats and put us in one of the hot air balloons and skated us all around the ice during that song.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
That was amazing.
The guy couldn't skate worth a damn, but, he kept getting out and helping him up. He couldn't skate worth a damn.
He was helping him skate.
I had to keep getting out and popping him up. Come on, dude. I do remember that, though, and that was just brought back to memory. This is Double Shot Monday. We have some double shots. There's some good ones coming up today with some other music as well, some other news, of course. And you guys have a good weekend?
Oh, yes, man. I had a great weekend. I got some rest and had a couple beers, I even put something on the grill. Cold as it is, I still put something on the grill. Just enjoy.
I admire that, Cornell.
Yeah,
just,
grill.
Saying, sod it, let's do it.
You can grill in the wintertime too.
Yeah.
Put his hands on there to warm them up.
Yeah, right.
Definitely. But not too long.
Salt and pepper.
It was 82 garlic degrees. Garlic. 82 degrees in Southern California today.
Oh, my
God. Nice.
Beautiful day. And what is it in Hawaii there, Chet? About the same?
About 75 and chilly.
Yeah, we're cool. That's surprising.
Put a coat on soon.
It's about 54 Fahrenheit here at the moment.
That's not just horrible. Yeah.
Well, it's 29 degrees out here.
Whoa. Everybody know West Point, right? You all know West Point is the military academy, the Armed Services Military School.
And, Army.
They were they're dealing with the fallout right now from a gigantic cheating incident following 73 cadets, which is the largest cheating episode of the school since yesterday. When it was 74. No, it's not 76. 72 of the cadets were accused of breaking the academy's honor code. We've got to get Jack Nicholson here. But their first-year cadets, and they're referred to as first-year cadets. But one student is a sophomore, and all of them are accused of cheating on exams. So it's happening there now, but there's a big scandal going on right now, and it's a lot of people up in arms, that was point, military cheating. So we'll see what happens in that.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is crazy. And that comes off the heels of all the college admission scandals that we've had here in the States with USC and some other schools. Well, my daughter went to USC, but I wasn't, I didn't want to. I went to, the ping pong coach, the chess coach, a little more, half a mil to the ping pong coach.
Yeah.
She got it, no problem. No, but widespread academic cheating here, you're starting to hear more and more. But who knows how long it's been going on for and how deep it goes. But now it's in the military academy as well. The other thing that's happening now is we've heard the word
called sleep.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's not a happy thing to be.
No.
In there.
No. the
calculus
other...
exam. Oh, calculus is easy. You guys shouldn't have it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I remember
really
one of my...
That was when math got fun.
Really?
Man.
Yeah.
I remember...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, man. Algebra 1 killed me.
Well, algebra
math.
Almost killed me, but...
Math in general, I don't get on
this. I don't think the algebra is a virus. I don't think I got it, so it didn't come close to killing me.
There's a vaccine for that algebra now.
What's funny
no
is
respect.
I
uses a corkscrew needle.
No. You know, do you know that Chet, the Kilauea volcano? Is that you're using Kilauea volcano?
Kilauea.
I'm sorry, I thought it was Kilauea.
Kilauea.
Now, Kilauea is the alcohol, right? I like that name
it's
better.
It's the Halemaumau crater.
Yeah, that's it's like erupting now, right? I mean, not as we speak, or is it erupting right now?
It's erupting, yeah.
That's what I thought. Do you see it? You hear it? You feel it or anything? Or is it...
Yeah, the cars are lining up at the park entrance to get a glimpse of it.
Wow. Incredible.
People should expect long waits for parking places, they say, at Volcano National Park.
But, Chet, can't somebody get hurt? Can't somebody get hurt for watching a volcano erupt?
They could breathe in, crap. What happened? Okay, what happened? The Halemaumau crater is the famous, very large crater that used to be filled with a lake of molten lava when Mark Twain saw it in the 1800s and wrote about it. It's a part of the Volcano National Park. It's the highest point of the Kilauea vent. And what's happened is that there it was filled up with water. And then last Saturday night, I guess, or Sunday night, Saturday night, the lava started leaking out into the crater. And the first thing that happened, it turned thousands and thousands of gallons of water into steam, which burned off. And now it's just dribbling into the crater. It's not like, you know, there are two kinds of volcanic explosions. There's the kind that was Mount St. Helens, where there's a violent explosion that releases megatons of gas and material. And then there's the Hawaiian kind, which is really laid back and slow. You can actually outrun the lava flow. Actually, you can outwalk it. So it's very thick lava and slow moving. And what's happening right now is it's filling up the crater. So it's a real neat light show when you go there at night. You can look out at this huge crater, and in the middle of it is a growing lake of red lava.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary, but definitely something I would love to see.
I'm not going to watch volcano erupt.
Most active.
I'm sorry. Nothing
on Earth.
You might see Godzilla come out of there.
Yeah.
Also, been hidden for thousands of years.
Also, over the weekend, we've heard that we heard the word martial law come out of the White House Oval Office as an idea that Trump was playing with, thinking he could declare martial law and overturn the election. Overturn the
really?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Wait, can that really happen?
But no. It's false. And he says fake news. But folks who were in the meeting came out and said he did toss the idea around. His former General Flynn, who he commuted his jail sentence. Flynn, who's pleaded guilty to lying before Congress, among other things, was in the meeting and said that, if the president wants to declare martial law and overturn the election, it's his prerogative to do so. But that's not actually how it works. I want to kind of advise our listeners how that actually does work. The martial law is when the U.S. military oversee a new nationwide, in this instance, a nationwide presidential election, of course, in other circumstances, the martial law was declared in specific cities regarding riots and, you know, other crises he's going to need to bring in military to bring things into order. But in this instance, it would be to oversee a new presidential election because Trump didn't like the last one. So if, you know, to think that, you know, he would, it's insane to think that he can do it. He can't because Senate and courts have the final word. And not only that, but the generals would have to go along with it. Like if he ordered it and the general said, which is what they've already indicated, they're going to say, hell no, we're not going to do it. Then he could start firing the generals until he finds one that will. But that ain't going to happen. The Senate would have to step up to the plate, not privately like they have been doing, you know, saying privately that they're acknowledging that Trump lost this thing, lost the stake. They're not saying it publicly too much. Some of them are. But publicly, the Senate would have to step up to the plate and say, this ain't, you know, what? You don't like the results, so we're going to overturn the election, declare martial law, bring in the military? You know, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but it's just kind of interesting how that's been spewed down. I mean, the guy's just reaching for straws, you know, if you do to stay in office. And we're, you know, oh, people, speaking of which, in office, he's disappeared. I mean, he's never mentioned the Russian, what he's saying also, speaking of Russian attacks, cyber attacks, he is saying they're not from Russia, they're from China. His, every single intelligence agency in the United States, every single one of them, Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, SPCA, the PTA, all those intelligence agencies have come out with conclusive evidence that the cyber attack was from Russia. Trump has been gone. He's disappeared from everywhere. He has just not been around. He's not said anything. The only thing he's been able to come out and do and say is the election was stolen. And he has not acknowledged the amount of people who have come out and been ill or died from the coronavirus, the economy, the jobless, relief package was just passed, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But he was gone, and a lot of people wonder, so where has he been the last 2.5 weeks? And we, on this show, happen to know where he was. We found out. Again, we have this amazing ability on this show to dig into the inside depths of where people are, what they do, especially when it comes to government officials. As we all know, Hanukkah just ended a week ago. It was a week ago, right? I think not even a week ago, Friday. Hanukkah ended on Friday. And Trump's been missing ever since just before Hanukkah started. So people are saying, where has he been? Well, we kind of found out where he was. We found out where he was. And, are you ready for this?
I'm ready, Andy.
Are you sure?
I am ready. I'm ready.
London.
He was singing. And I have this incredible ability to bring such power to...
You have no power here. Be gone.
I do.
He was rude.
But I do.
Tell her, Andy. Oh my goodness.
But I really do. But I have some intel, and I've got to find it here. Just give me a second. I got to find my intel here. I do have it. I do have it because. I'll have to find out on tomorrow.
Somebody's packed you, Andy.
I have it. In the meantime, what's your double shot? Let's get back to double shot Monday, and I'll find this intel report. I'm just going to read it to you. I just cannot find it, where he's been and what he's been doing.
I'm sure it's going to pop up.
Oh, I got this pile here.
I'm impressed.
That's my gas bill. that's my Macy's credit card statement. Wait a minute. letter from my bank. I owe how much money? Okay, wait a minute. I know it's in here somewhere. All right, let's go back Double Shot Monday. Don Hyatt, Slow Turning, and Memphis in the Meantime here on the Andy and Amanda Show. John Hyatt, one of my faves. What a talented singer-songwriter he is. Just absolutely fabulous.
That was very funky.
Metronomic right hand too.
Yeah, he's great. He's great live.
Yeah.
Quite the performer, solo with his band. Very talented guy. And we'll be hearing more from John Hyatt, not just show, but down the road. Definitely put him on a players to play list here. No question about it. And keeping right along with our, what do we do? A double shot. What's a double shot? We have another one here a guy by the name of Tom Waits. You all know Tom Waits?
Yes.
I like people.
Yeah,
people
Tom
whose
Waits.
Name make a complete sentence.
Yes, Tom Waits. Tom Waits has a daughter. Okay, yeah, Tom Waits has a daughter who is a very talented artist, and I was invited to a show that she did. I got an invite to get here in L.A. and got to meet her, and it was great just to, she's there at an art gallery showing her work, and I didn't want to really get all starry-eyed by talking about her dad, but I'm such a fan of Tom Waits that it was, trying to stand next to her and see what she's talking, Oh my God, it's Tom Waits' daughter. But she's
talking about smell.
Yeah, exactly. We briefly talked about what it's like growing up in the house and, his songs, for a short conversation, but then started talking about her artwork, which was pretty impressive, I must say. And she's got an internet gallery and so forth. So, so we're going to hear a couple of songs by Tom Waits, and but I think before we do that, I promised you something earlier. I forgot. A little out of order here because I told you I found what Trump has been doing for a couple of weeks, and I don't want to let that go because I'll forget. So I want to get back to that before we play Tom Waits. Is that okay?
What
I found was that Trump actually does know that he's going to be leaving the White House and was preparing his next career during the Hanukkah holiday, and he was invited to. A lot of people don't know this. Again, this is information like a lot of things you only hear on this show. That Trump was invited to join a Hebrew a cappella singing group for Hanukkah, an audition. So he did. He auditioned, and I happen to have the tape of that audition. And I know you can't wait to hear it, I'm sure.
Right? Absolutely.
Bated breath.
This is Donald Trump with the Hebrew a cappella singing group. And this is why you haven't heard from the guy for 2 weeks. This is what he's been doing. Take a listen.
I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. Oh, COVID, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay. When it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. Oh, COVID, I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. It has a lovely body with legs so short and thin. And when it gets all tired, it drops and then I win. Oh, COVID, I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play.
Me and my little
me and my little
Israel,
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 Israel.
Let's have a recession.
Shema.
Others should have done this long before me.
Be Mashiach, Yamenu, Proslam Israel,
Yitachid Yakum Veyigael.
Although I enjoy doing it,
Be Mahel Kurot Israel, Otami Yivne.
TikTok. Jobs, retail, stock market.
COVID. Ma'osor Yeshuati Lechana Elishabea.
Who's number one with Hispanics?
Tikun Betefilati Lisham Todan Isabea.
Nobody knows this stuff better than me.
Lietachima Bea Mitzor Hamna Bea.
And now we're going to get money.
Azeg more, Bishir Mizmor, Chanukah Tamizbeya.
Oh, look at my African American over here.
Azeg more, Bishir Mizmor, Chanukah Tamizbeya.
You know what I'm talking about?
COVID.
I am the chosen one.
COVID.
That person I think was fired.
Yes. And I'll tell you, he worked on that for quite some time, Trump did, with that group.
I'll tell you, Andy, that was freaking hilarious. Oh my goodness. I've got that
being
stuck in my head now, though. You know that, right?
I'll send you that, Amanda. I'll send you. I'll send it to you. Yeah, anyway, so that's what he's been doing, the truth be known. that he's been working with this group. And I think he will be making some money. You know, you heard him say it. You know, now he makes some money. And he is a chosen one, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I that was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. I was sitting here laughing. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Let's hear from Tom Waits' Downtown Train and hope I don't fall in love with you here on the Andy and Amanda Show.
Let's do it.
Gone so old in the nighttime, yes. I climb to the window and down to the street. I'm shining like a new dime. Downtown trends of food for all those Brooklyn girls that try so hard to break out of their little world. Will you wave your hand in the sky? Nothing that will ever capture your heart. There are just thorns without the rose. Be careful of them in the dark. Oh, if I was the one you chose to be your only one. Oh, yeah. Can't you hear me now? Can't you hear me now? I see you tonight. Roll it down. Play, you display your heart for me to see.
Now the room is crowded, there's people everywhere. And I wonder, should I offer you a chair? Well, if you sit down with this old clown, I'll take that frown and break it before the evening's gone away. I think that we can make it. And I hope that I don't fall in love with you. Well, I can see that you are lonesome just like me. And it being late, like some company. Well, now I've had two. I look at you and you look back at me. The guy you're with, he's up and split. The chair next to you's free. And I hope that you don't fall in love.
Relaxed and calm and took me out of the troubles of the world.
Yes,
me too.
Great, and man.
I have one of my screens here in the studio. One of my screens is a, I should take a picture of it. I'll put it on the website, but it's a big, it's a, like a 30-inch screen, and it's gray background and white. It says, days left until President Biden takes office. 29 days, 17 hours, 45 minutes, and 46, 5, 4 seconds. And, so I was just singing that song and just watching the seconds tick down. So what do you do with your spare time? Why look at the screen with like...
Don't watch paint dry. Watch the countdown.
I just watch the countdown. I watch the numbers. You know, it reminds me, I remember when I first started dating my high school girlfriend. We have gone on for 4 years, but I think it's in our first year. You know, I was about to go to her house, which is up in her room. She came from my house. But I did, as a young teen. is we go up to my room and we lay down on the floor together. And do you remember the clocks where you had the numbers flipped over? You know, they flipped.
Yes. They
flip over, you know, they flip, right? So she had to be home like by 11. I guess she was 15 or whatever at the time. So we would come over and just lay down in my room starting like at 8. And we would just watch the clock, just watch the numbers flip, because it seemed that time would go slower that way.
I think Einstein proved that they do. The Einstein theory of card flipping clocks.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we do that. She'd come over, you know, on a Friday night, you know, weekend, and we'd just lay there and just watch the clock. Talk about
I'm
whatever.
I'm sure, Andy, yeah.
It seemed that it took longer to get.
At least that's what you told the parents.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We're just watching the clock flip.
I actually love the clockwork, you know, the little cogs, the way they move in watches pocket watch, or even a grandfather clock. It's just so fascinating to me.
Yep. See, it's funny how you look at the numbers. This is kind of interesting. In an airplane, when you make an approach to land, there's two different types of approaches. One is a precision approach, where you have vertical guidance and horizontal guidance to the runway. The other is a non-precision approach, where you have a minimum descent altitude and a final approach fix, and it's based on time, depending on what speed, your ground speed, from the final approach fix till the decision time, where if you don't see the runway environment, you got to go around this approach, right? So that is also on the time. So on an opposition approach, you're at the final approach marker, bam, you're at your minimum descent altitude, which is usually about 400 feet above the ground, and you're just straight line to the center line of the runway on a navigational fix. So you're actually on a pad, following the nav aid. And then you're watching the clock. And that time took so goddamn long. That was like,
yeah,
come on already. Come on already. You know, and you look at your approach chart, it would say how much time for what your ground speed is, and if your ground speed was somewhere between there, then you interpolate and figure out what the time would be. You know, a few seconds anyway. So it could be like, let's say, you know, at 180 knots, you know, your time is 2 minutes and 46 seconds to the, you know, for decision, to kind of make your no-go decision. So that's the longest 2 minutes and 46 seconds anybody would want to fly in actual instrument conditions.
<You're> like, waiting for those cards to flip over in the little flippy.
Yeah, waiting. Yeah, I kept picturing. Yeah,
on the deck.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I kept picturing because you got a timer, and sometimes you'll timer on the plane or your watch, whatever. But and sometimes the truth be done, we just do the airport.
Sorry, Donnie.
No, go ahead. What's up?
Do you ever have one of those moments where you just happen to glance at, like, set a digital time more than anything? It could count as well for the second hand on a clock. But you just happen to glance at it, and right the... I can't speak! Exactly the right moment. And that second seems to hang longer than usual. But I think it's where you've just caught it at that right moment where it's changed, that it appears to hang there, but it isn't really. That's
you're looking at the long bit instead of the short bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just hangs in.
It just seems longer than usual. I'm just like, okay. The things we talk about, right?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Well, during that song, I was actually looking up the winter solstice, and I found that we only have 105 days until the cold food festival in Korea and Greater China.
I'll make a note of that.
And today in Murmansk, the length of the day is zero.
Wow.
Zero?
Sun ain't coming up tonight, today, in Murmansk.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
And Inuvik, in the Northwest Territories of Canada, is another place that won't see the sun today.
Wow.
Sun went down here. It's only 6:20 or 6:19 or something. Sun is down. My God, it's getting dark so early. I guess it's still bright where you are, Chet. Hawaii.
It's still up, but yeah, it's coming down pretty soon. I guess our day is going to be almost an hour longer than yours, though.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder how those. But
I'm
we're
so
about
sorry,
the same
sweetheart.
As Mexico City.
You go to talk, sweetheart, and there's a pause, and I'm just about to say something, and then you carry on. I'm so sorry. What was you going to say, darling?
I was going to say
we're waiting
rain,
for you.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane. Oh,
yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wonder how those people cope. You know, where is it? Where they have, is it 40 days of no sun? Is that right? 40 days? It's kind of like night time for them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Fairbanks, Alaska, today is 3 hours of daylight. And I had a friend who lived there. And he said that what they would do is they would go to Maui for 3 months.
Right. That's a good idea.
And then they had midnight softball leagues during the summer.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. That blows my mind that people can live without sunlight for that amount of time without going kind of crazy. You know, it's just like nighttime all the time. I couldn't either, to be honest.
It's like living in Eugene, Oregon.
I wouldn't know, but I'll take your word for it.
Very pretty up there, very pretty up there. We're going to get another song. This is one of my favorite, of course, Chris Smith. Their tune is Blues in the Bottle. It's a song by Lightnin' Hopkins, and it was actually one of the first blues albums, blues records by that title. The album's called Blues in the Bottle that I started listening to way back when. And this is Chris Smith's version of that title song from the Lightnin' Hopkins album, again called Blues in the Bottle. Here we go.
Picked all my cotton, I pulled all my corn, dog on my bell of soul. Pulled all my corn, got the blues in the bottle, blues since I was born. Got the blues in the bottle, blues since I was born. Keep away from me. If
booze in the bottle. I was going to do a double shot and play the original Lightning Hopkins version of that too as well, but time's going to limit us from doing that, so we'll get to that next year.
next year. Oh, my goodness.
Next year. Hey, Wednesday, folks, we have a – it's going to be a different show Wednesday. It's going to be all just about all music, but the music's going to be Christmas songs, interpretations of Christmas songs by various singer-songwriters. So that's going to be a fun show on Wednesday, and that'll be the last show of the week, Wednesday show. And that'll be a lot of fun and great music. So if you really want to hear some great singer-songwriters that you know, some you might not know, just like I guess pretty much all the music we've been playing here, but it's going to have a Christmas flavor to it on Wednesday, and I want to invite everybody to take part and listen to that show. Go ahead.
Sorry, sweetheart. I think it's important to mention that people should check out our Instagram for our funky Christmas photo that we're going to do.
Yes.
That's right.
It will definitely be done. Definitely. Yeah. Andy, Chet, Amanda is not, y'all not getting out of this one.
No. Okay, back to you, Andy. Sorry.
Schematic.
What is the, what's I going to say? Oh, yeah. The what is the Instagram address for our show?
At the Andy and Amanda Show.
And our Facebook is?
The Andy and Amanda Radio Show.
There we go. And our number here to...
And don't forget the Twitter, show. Andy.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I have nothing to do with this stuff, obviously. Twitter is what? Twitter.
At Amanda and... at Andy and Amanda, too.
Yeah.
That's a little different. So that's at Andy and Amanda, too, is our... Is our tweet,
Twitter.
You call it there. And of course, when we are live, our number is 515-605-9888. And we know that, I think most of the audience listens to this show by our stats here as a podcast. As a matter of fact, our numbers again from around the world were, and the emails and so forth, were up over the weekend when we ran the Friday show, the Reload Friday show runs over the weekend. We had more numbers over the weekend than we did Friday live, so it's kind of interesting. But if anybody cares to call in live, you can. You know, again, it's 515-605-988. We always love to hear from you. And we're going to wrap. We're going to wrap the show up. Actually, what we're going to do now is this show, thinking as a podcast, we're going to close the show out with Janice Ian and Tommy Emmanuel. From the Philadelphia Folk Festival, 2014, doing Ugly Girl Like Me, and then she goes into this, so again, with Tommy Emmanuel, Over the Rainbow. I was backstage when they did this tune, and it was just amazing to be there, just incredible to see him just get on stage with her.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible. So listen in, and we'll see you on Wednesday for our Christmas Music Spectacular here on the Andy and Amanda Show, folks. I want to thank everybody. Body for being with us on behalf of Amanda Love in the UK, Jet White, and of course Cornell, our show coordinator in Delaware. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Andy Show.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll see you on Wednesday. Here is Janice Ian, Tommy Emmanuel.
Take care, guys.
I would very much like
Take
to
care.
Invite my
Have
new friend up on stage, Tommy Emmanuel. Not often you get to play with somebody who's a hero. Pretty cool. I'll just be going now. Thank you.
Emmanuel. Girls like me.
Met 2 hours ago, so don't expect much. Yeah, I learned this from Livingston Taylor, of all people. He does a wonderful job of it. Yes, thank you, dear.
And less guitar and more voice. Less guitar and more voice. Great.
Put a bit of talent on the voice. Reverb.
And he's cute, too. I mean, shit. So irritating. Anyway, if you know this, please do join in with us. When all the world is a hopeless blunder, and there's rain and thunder all around, when every cloud darkens up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. There's a man that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. Birds fly over the rainbow, white Thank you so very much from both of us.
Miss Janice Ian.
Thank you very much indeed.